Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You were tuning into Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. This show airs every Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/chitchat.htm. And don't forget to follow Artists First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here's your host of Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark, Lisa and Nancy.
Welcome, everybody. Hi, welcome to the Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark. We're airing live from Artists First. We have a great show for you tonight. Our first guest, we have Julie Whitner, we have Ilsa Baker, and we have Natalie Wexler. To grab your martini, slip into something really comfortable, put your best high heels on, and chat with us for the next hour. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Lisa. Oh, I have to tell everyone, Lisa's getting ready to do a show live from Spain.
Well, I hope.
I think you should go.
The king's ransom to send my son. I don't know if we're going to have any money left for us to go visit him.
Yeah. Lisa's son is studying abroad in Spain. He leaves tomorrow, and she's supposed to be packing, and she's chatting.
I'm chatting. He's the only guy I know. He's bringing 8 pairs of shoes, 10 pairs of jeans. He's too much.
But what I want to know is how many bottles of cologne to meet those beautiful Spanish girls.
I wonder if he's going to meet a Spanish girl and want to get married and stay over in Spain. I'll die.
Oh, but wait a minute. Answer my question. How many bottles of cologne is he taking?
Probably one or two, I guess.
Yeah.
He says he wants
okay,
to buy
is
stuff
he
there.
Putting his luggage under the plane? He's not. Of course, he has to. He can't carry that on.
it's probably going to cost $1 million. It's probably over the poundage.
Oh, my gosh. But I think it's fabulous. Everyone, let's applaud. Lisa, live from Spain.
Yeah,
oh, too much fun. Well, it's going to be a fun night on our show, Lisa.
I know. We have a comedian coming on. I could use a laugh because I've been crying all day.
I know. You have been.
Well, I'd like to introduce our first guest. Let's get her on.
Yeah.
Her name is Julie Whitner. She stars in and writes comedy series Hollywood Saturday Night, formerly Acme Saturday Night. Julie has appeared in NCIS, Desperate Housewives, Parks and Recreation, Bones, Parenthood, and the film Puss in Boots. Welcome, Julie.
Hey, you guys.
Thank you for coming on our show.
It's great to be here. And, yes, you should tell, is it your son who's going to Spain?
Yes.
Yeah, he should just bring one pair of black pants.
Where?
That's all he needs. One pair of black pants and a black T-shirt.
Oh, really? Have you been there?
No, but I just think that's going to be the easiest way to travel.
Right. You can never go wrong with black. That's all I wear anyway.
He's just going to wear the same thing. He's not even going to shower while he's there.
No, not this one. My son's one of those metrosexuals that has to have everything perfect. So he's got it going on. He's got, you know, the hair and the clothes and the shoes. Oh, today we were out looking for the perfect messenger bag. You had to have a messenger bag. And, you know, it's just so funny.
Well, it sounds great.
Anyway, so tell me about your career. You got a cool career. You've been on some cool shows. My God.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been good. I got a late start, too. I used to be in sales and marketing, and all of a sudden I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. I need to be doing what I dreamt about when I was a kid. And so I got a late start, but it's been really fun. And Acme Comedy Theater, which is where we do Hollywood Saturday Night, that's been in my life for about 12 years, so that was sort of right when I started. So that's been part of my life ever since I've been an actor.
So what exactly is it? Explain to our audience what it is.
Well, I'm sure most people have heard of the Groundlings Theater. Maybe not, but it's very much in that vein, in that we have a show. I'm sorry, I'm mixing things up. We are a theater and a school. So basically, we bring on students, and they learn how to write sketch, and they learn improv, and then they work their way through the school, and then they become part of the company, and the Hollywood Saturday Night is one of the shows we put on at the theater, at Acme Comedy Theater. And it's actually an online TV show that we stream live every Saturday night.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's we have a different guest host. So we have a different guest host every Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
And these are everyone from, we had Rick Fox on, who's a basketball player. We have...
Oh, yeah, he's so cute.
He was surprisingly funny and a great actor. We've had Galen Gehring, who is on Days of Our Lives, who is incredibly good-looking, and we had a lot of fun with him. It's fun for us to get the celebrities to do things like make fun of themselves, and he was a lot of fun. We had Leah Thompson, who was just a thrill to work with because I grew up watching all of the movies in the 80s with Leah Thompson, and so she was really fun to have on.
Wow. Now tell us about Desperate Housewives. What was that like being on that? That must have been so cool. Like, what season were you on it?
That was a couple years ago, and I played a snotty little gossiping mom. It was right when... I think the show went forward 10 years. Do you remember when that happened? They came on for the new season, and I think it was supposed to be 10 years ahead. I don't know if you...
I missed that. Fun thing, because I used to watch it faithfully all the time. What was it like working with all those girls?
Well, I mostly worked with Eva Longoria, actually, that day.
Is she gorgeous in person, just like she is on TV?
Gorgeous and teeny, teeny tiny. She's like as big as my pinky. She's so tiny.
God.
Yeah, she's adorable.
Wow. Mm.
But yeah, it's fun. We have actually some really fun celebrities heading into our 2012 season here. We've got
who?
We've got Fiona Gubelman, who is I don't know if you've ever seen a show called Wilfred. It's got a dog. It's got a guy who plays a dog. She's wonderful. And we have Mindy Sterling, who is in Austin Powers. And we have a woman by the name of Dale Raul, who plays Maxine Fortenberry on True Blood. I don't know if there's any True Blood fans out there. So we have
my sister and my son, though, they love it.
Yeah, so we've got her on. It's really fun doing the show because you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, it's interesting because a lot of times our celebrities will get nervous doing our show because it's the first time they've done this sort of format, but we do it every week, so we don't get nervous. But recently we had on Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall, and so he, for a lot of our cast members, Scott Thompson is sort of their comedic hero, and they're the epitome of sketch, and so the whole cast was nervous. So Scott Thompson was a pro, but we were all very nervous. So it's funny. You never know what you're going to get because we pitch our sketches to the celebrity Monday night, and then we really don't work together again until Saturday when we have our rehearsal all day long, and then we magically put up a show Saturday night. So it's very fast-paced and really fun, and the energy is great. And you just never know what you're going to get. It's really fun.
Well, that sounds very exciting. Now, is there a live audience, or is this all done through the web?
We have a live audience, and we stream live. So it's usually a packed house of people ready for a good time, and then we interact with the audience occasionally as well. So if you watch the show, you'll see sometimes the actors will go into the audience and talk to them, or we'll have an actor sit out in the audience and do a monologue. And so we sort of sometimes involve the audience as well.
Oh, that sounds like my kind of fun. Lisa, that's a great idea. We should take Chit Chat Cafe Live to California and be in the audience.
There you go.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what we want
to
do.
That's where I want to go. I want to go to California. We went last year to California, but I'm going to go again.
Yeah, for more fun. Now, I have to give a shout-out right now. I see that you are from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and guess where I live? St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
That's where I'm broadcasting from.
And a pink county.
Yeah, so it's a small world, right, Lisa? How many people do we know from Minnesota now?
more than my area, which is more populated, Philadelphia, New Jersey, New York area.
And so Minneapolis is where you were born. How long did you live here? Because I see that you've moved to maybe 6 different states.
Yeah, I
I think we moved when I was around two. We moved.
So you were a child.
Now, I grew up on the East Coast, and I've been in St. Paul, Minnesota area for a few years, and it's beautiful here.
Well, I'll have to get back there then.
Yeah. You know the Minnesota Nice?
The what?
You've heard of Minnesota Nice?
Minnesota Nice?
Yeah, Nice, N-I-C-E.
No, I haven't.
Everyone talks about people are nice in Minnesota. It's called the Minnesota Nice.
Oh, well, you're certainly Minnesota Nice.
Thank you. Well, I have to ask you, I'm just curious, are your characters that I'm reading about Miss America and Ted Talley's attractions, is that on the show that we're discussing?
Oh, no, that was a play / musical that I did years ago where I played America.
And all right, so then tell our listeners, what are the characters that you might play in this comedy? Do you have certain characters that you bring back weekly?
I do. I have a grandma-type character who I've brought back many times, who she works at a sex toy shop.
<Ooh. laughs>
And is very intimate with her customers that come in. She really wants to help and makes her customers very uncomfortable. And I have a interview character, actually. It's called Deep Insight. And it's one of the most fun things that I do there. And I interview our celebrity hosts on something that they want to talk about. And usually what we do is we'll send a sheet to them asking what do they have anything in particular that they want us to write for them. And for example, Scott Thompson, who had cancer, he said, you know, I would like to talk about the cancer. And how in the world am I going to make that funny? And so I did an interview with him, and it was just, I wasn't sure how the audience was going to take it because, you know, it's always a touchy subject when you try to make something like that funny. But he was such a good sport, and it was really fun, and we talked. Basically, I ended up blaming him blaming him for having cancer, and that it must have been so difficult for his family and friends, and how could he do such a thing, and it was so wrong, and I'm actually feeling bad talking about it right now as well.
Oh, hey, now, with your impromptu, are you able to give us a few little things to make us laugh, and perhaps picking on Lisa packing her son up to go to Spain, we could use that.
You want me to be funny on the spot?
You don't have to be. You can say no.
I can't even think. I can't even think. I don't know. It would be funny to put little notes in his underwear, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Like, love mom.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. Just he'll find little surprises as he's unpacking.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I have a brilliant idea that I think every single person should be ready for 30 seconds of comedy. Can you imagine being at a Broadway play or something, and something's gone wrong backstage, and the MC comes out and says, we're going to have a contest, we're going to pick three people from the audience, and whoever has the funniest comedy skit in 30 seconds wins $100. So I think everybody should be ready.
You know, I'm sure as an actor here in Los Angeles, and I'm sure in you know, back east as well, it's, you know, you always have to have that 30 second to a minute monologue ready. So I think a lot of people do have that ready at a moment's notice.
That's great. Hey, now tell us about your voiceovers. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, that's extremely fun. I love doing voiceover. I got into that a few years ago. What I did on Puss in Boots was cat voices, actually. There was four men and four women, and we did all different kinds of cat sounds. The director would say, be a happy cat, be an angry cat. Now you're surprised.
You're funny.
Now you're angry. Now you're curious. And it was so much fun.
That sounds like fun. You've been in, was it a play that was Two Parents, Two Weddings, or a film?
I think
looking at your website, Two Parents, Two Weddings. That sounds pretty interesting.
Oh, I think you're okay. I think you're speaking of a play that I did. That was actually written by Mel Brooks's daughter-in-law.
This wow!
A play that I did in Los Angeles, and it was about her two parents both getting married the same year to different people.
Oh, funny!
Yeah, it was pretty funny, and the brother and sister trying to deal with the angst and all the drama that goes along with that.
So what's been one of your best memories from working with Acme and now Saturday Nights?
One of my best memories. I would say the Leah Thompson show, because I was such a huge fan of hers, and to work with her was just amazing. And I wrote a sketch where she and I had to dance and sing to All That Jazz, and it was really fun. We were Midwestern, kind of Minnesota, very conservative office workers, and so we were sitting at desks, so from the waist up we were in this very conservative work clothing, and then anytime the boss left, we would get from behind our desk to rehearse the number All That Jazz, and all we were wearing was thongs and fishnet stockings and heels.
Oh, funny. And you were a singer also?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, and so I love that music, All That Jazz.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
So that was a lot of fun. It's really fun to work with all these different celebrities, and some who you've grown up watching and some who are newer, younger. You know, there's some that come on that are, you know, 18, 19, 20 years old who are in movies or on TV, and it's fun to tease them about being so young.
Now, what do you have planned for the next couple of years? Any new projects or anything cool that you want to share with our audience?
No, I'm an actor. We don't plan past the next week.
I bet.
I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. Are you kidding?
Spontaneous.
Exactly.
Did you ever have a regular job where you had to work 9 to 5?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I was in sales and marketing for 10 years. So I was I was 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. or worked my butt off. Yeah, and then I had different day jobs to pay the bills while I was starting out acting, and worked at an art gallery here in Los Angeles, and I worked for different companies doing sales, and you know, I worked in the clothing industry. I mean, I had all kinds of different jobs. I never have waited tables, though. I never did that. Somehow I avoided that. The closest I ever came was I served ice cream in college at a bar.
I always wanted to work in an ice cream shop.
Well, I don't think I could.
I know, it's hard.
It would be really cold in your hands and delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still laughing about your little skit being the grandma at the sex toy place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
That was a fun one. This year I decided I wanted to do a British character, so I came up with this British character. There's no reason why she should be British whatsoever. I just wanted to do the accent.
Do some British voice for us. Do an accent.
Sometimes everybody in the cast makes fun of me because sometimes my British goes into Australian, goes into Irish, goes into something else. Like,
what's here?
Well, this character's name is Penelope. And everyone says, I thought it was Penelope. And she says, oh, no, I did too.
Oh. Sounds convincing.
I like that. I never thought about that. I love that.
Yeah.
That was a good accent.
She's sort of infuriating. She's sort of a vapid know-it-all. She thinks she's really smart, but she's kind of clueless. It's a fun character.
Aw. Well, we're so excited that we have your picture and your link on our website so all of our listeners can find you. Now we can't wait to live stream so we can hear the comedy. Tell us how we do that so our listeners can enjoy this comedy.
Great. Well, you go to HollywoodSaturdayNight.com and we stream live usually at 8 o'clock Los Angeles time. So I guess that would be a late night for you guys back east.
We're night elves.
I was in Minnesota, so you're two. Are you 2 or 3 hours?
3, I think.
3. So yeah, you go there, and then you'll see a place to click where it says "Stream Live" or "Watch the Show," and you click on that, and then you know it says who our next upcoming hosts are and who our host is for that Saturday night. if you want to plan ahead, and it's a lot of fun. We have the three-camera show. We've got a camera on stage, so you guys, the you're basically watching the show as it's being aired, so it's all live.
Well, that's exciting. Well, we do have that link directly on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website by your beautiful picture so that our listeners can tune in. So we're very excited. We can't wait till this week.
Well, it's actually, we are off right now. Our show, I think we head back in, we start writing this month, and so I believe that we start up again in February, but keep an eye out for it, or I can post, you know, we'll post something to let you know when our next show is.
Good. And are you on Twitter?
I am not. I'm bad girl.
We've been tweeting about you. We think you're fabulous, and we can't wait to listen live. Julie, would you join us again?
Absolutely.
We would love that. You're just remarkable, and
it's our
honor to have you on our website. Your archive will also be available for all of our listeners to enjoy long after tonight's interview. So thank you very much for joining us tonight, Julie.
Thank you for having me, and I wish you guys all the luck and a very happy 2012.
Yes, you too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good night. Happy New Year.
Well, we're thanking our fabulous sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. Their links are also on our Chit Chat Cafe website. We're taking a quick commercial break. Stay with us. We're joined by choreographer Elise Baker.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Welcome back, everyone. We've waited a long time. I feel like we've been tweeting forever with this next guest. She's an acclaimed dancer, a respected choreographer, and she is in class. She has class with Leanne Rimes, who's in her class, I should say. And she's also worked with Rihanna, Mario Lopez, ABC's Dancing with the Stars champion, Cheryl Burke, and many others. Welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live, Elise Baker.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited. Now, I was trying to recall, do you have your degree from college in dance or dance choreography?
My degree is a Bachelor's of Arts in Dance Performance and Dance Education.
That's wonderful. Where did you study?
I studied at Point Park University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And then, right after college, moved right out to California, or what did you do?
No, actually, after college, I went right to New York City to do the whole audition scene in New York City and, you know, do the Broadway thing and TV out there and things like that. And I got into a little bit of fitness for a job. And then 3 weeks into me living in New York City, what was really nice about Point Park is what they offered my senior year is auditions, like Point amusement parks and cruise lines and national tours came to our school. So I had auditioned for a bunch of things my last year in college. So I'm 3 weeks into New York City, living, doing my thing, getting into the audition scene, making my connections, and I got a call to go on tour with the corporation Sesame Street Live. So after 3 weeks of living in New York City, I had 10 days. I packed my bags. I went on a 10-month tour with Sesame Street Live. different city every week, kids show, and then from there I got a call and I went to Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. So my first year out of college, I was basically dancing professionally all over the world.
Oh, how exciting. And what character were you with Sesame Street Live?
I played Prairie Dawn. She's a little pink girl with the blonde hair on Sesame
I know her.
Yeah, love her.
I love her, too.
A lot of fun. Kids are the best audience.
Oh, it's always so happy. I teach kindergarten, so I know that.
Yeah, I mean, they're just a pleasure. So it was fun. A lot of fun.
Oh, well, I have to tell you that my daughter graduated from college with her degree in dance choreography, and she's in New York City doing the same auditions with her agent, and so I know a lot about what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a tough world out there, but, you know, if you get in the right door and you meet the right people and keep your connections going, I mean, you should be, I'm sure she's good to go.
She's having a blast, and how exciting for you to be able to dance all around the world when you first started. Now, are you still doing that, or are you based out of California most of the time now?
No, so now, so after I left tour, I was kind of in a position of, what did I want to do? Like, did I want to go back to New York City? And I had the opportunity, actually, my sister called and said, you know, what are you doing? I'm in Boston now, but I'm taking a job in Los Angeles. Do you want to move with me? And I said, you know what? I'm from the East Coast. I grew up here. I've made my connections. The entertainment world in L.A. is something that experience is something that has definitely been on my list of things to do. So I said, you know what? I'm going to be spontaneous. I'm going to come out with you. I'm going to give it a year and see what happens. So we took 2 weeks, drove cross country. We had a fun time. And I got out here, and I just kind of got myself in every single dance class, every audition. I got an agent, and things just really started to work well for me. And a year later, I was still here. So it's been close to 10 years now that I'm still in Los Angeles.
Well, we had so much fun watching you on Facebook and Twitter. You know, your Facebook is so much fun. What do you call it, the dance of the day?
My Facebook page is Elise Baker Dancinerate, and Dancinerate is actually a program that I'm doing in L.A. that I'm getting ready to nationally launch in the summer of 2012. And on that page, what I do is I provide a dance tip for any walk of life, you know, to get up and to be motivated and to feel really good and just to get and into a dance class. So, yeah, that's what I provide on that page.
Well, I think it's fun, and I love your website.
Thank you. Yeah, my website's really... Sorry?
It's so much fun. It's beautiful, and it just makes you want to look at it when you just have to dance. Elise Baker.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I think it's what's interesting is growing up as a dancer and getting into choreography and, you know, doing that all of my life and being really passionate about it. Since I've moved to L.A. and since dance has become really popular on TV and even in Broadway and even in shows and videos, it's like the whole world is dancing right now. And what
exactly.
I've come across is people that maybe never have experienced dance or maybe have in their, you know, in their past or kind of gave up or are still doing it. So it's been really nice because while I'm dancing professionally, while I'm choreographing, I'm still able to inspire and motivate people that you can dance too. Anybody can dance. You don't have to be on a competitive TV show to dance. You can be dancing in the gyms. You can be dancing in your home living room. You can be dancing in the kitchen while you're cooking. So that's really, I think, my message that's why I love putting videos on my Facebook and Twitter pages and my website so people can stay motivated and see that any walk of life, any shape, any size, we can all dance.
Well, Lisa and I were former NFL cheerleaders together when we were 18 and 19, and so we still like to dance. We dance with our cheerleader friends still to this day.
That's awesome. I know I read that about you guys. I love that.
Yeah, it's fun. And I, at my home, I like to pick up my little 10-pound little dog, and we dance every day together.
That's fun.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to say it, but I do know his favorite song is Me and Mrs. Jones for some reason.
That's awesome.
I have no idea why, but he likes to slow dance to that.
That's great. That's
but anyway, set us straight, please. Leanne Rimes is in a class that you teach?
Yeah, Leanne Rimes takes my classes in the gyms when she's in town, and she does also my dance studio classes outside of the gym. So pretty much, when she is here, if she's here on a weekly basis, she is in class. And, I mean, she's awesome to have in class. She loves learning all different dance styles, the choreography. She loves the energy of the people in the room. She's just really a blessing to teach and hang out with.
she seems really fun. Yeah.
She's very skinny, though, isn't she? Like, super skinny?
No. Leanne is totally fit. She takes really great care of herself. She works her butt off. She weight lifts. She kicks boxes. I mean, the girl's always doing some kind of fitness. And I know with dance, she just really loves it because she's able to release and just express herself through the movement.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she dances a lot in her videos. I love to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's talented. She can sing her face off, and she can dance her booty off.
And it sounds like you can, too.
I think so. I can't sing my face off. I wasn't blessed with that, but I definitely love to dance.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Who was your favorite person to work with, celebrity-wise?
That's a great question.
Who did you find, like, utterly charming? Just was, like, so...
You know, I have to be honest, Daniela Monet, who she plays Trina Vega on Victorious, Nickelodeon's new show, Victorious. It's been on a couple of years now. And she is a breath of fresh air. I mean, she takes my class religiously. She supports me all the time. We do a kids' events together. She's awesome. She's talented. She wants to learn. She's passionate. And she's just a really good person.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you intimidated when, like, famous people come to
say that? Say that again?
Do you get intimidated when you're working with famous people?
Not at all. No. Mm-mm. Any other human being.
I know, because that's the way we are, too, even with our show, because we've interviewed some really famous people, and when you were talking to them, you know, for a couple minutes before we got on the air, they're just, like, regular people. Some people just think that, you know, like, you expect to, you know, they get put on such a pedestal that you think that God knows what, you know, but they're just normal. They just have the same fears and needs and everything that the rest of us do.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it is, I mean, I think for me personally, I've always been a people person. So even when I was training all my life, you know, I've been dancing since the age of 3. So when I was 10 years old, I was starting to assist my dance teacher. So I was working with all types of kids. Down syndrome, you know, teenagers, high school students. So you have so many different personalities in one room. Then as I was getting older, I progressed to adults. So now where I'm at, you know, I'm working with heavy set people, skinny people, mm-hmm. normal people. So I think just the fact that I've been around so many people and I love people to begin with, uh-huh. to me, it's just a celebrity. It's just an average person, you know, walking down the street kind of thing.
What was it like working with Cheryl Burke? She has a knockout body.
Yeah. Cheryl Burke was fun. I went in, I did a fitness dance infomercial with her, so I co-starred with her, and I worked with her for about 2 weeks, and it was a lot of fun. She has a great personality. She was an awesome dancer. We hung out. We had dinner. Yeah, she was fun.
And what about, was like dancing in China?
That was...
Beijing, China, didn't you?
Yeah, China was amazing. I went out there, and I have to tell you, I was so scared going out there because it was my first time by myself traveling out of the country, and I'm going to present at this big, prestigious fitness convention. I had 200 people in each workshop. I taught 5 different workshops. I had a translator on stage with me. I had never worked with a translator before. But those the people in China, they just love Americans. I mean, you walk down the street and they...
Oh, really? Point
say, oh, pretty lady, oh, you American, picture. I mean, they're just so open arms, and with dance especially, they love, you know, China, Japan, they love dance. So we had a ball. I mean, I used my hand cues, and I stopped a little bit. I let the translator chime in. They taught me how to count to 8 in their language, so that was fun, but it was a great experience.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What now? What did you go there for exactly?
I was teaching in Las Vegas at Idea World Fitness Convention, which is the largest in America for fitness, and I was teaching a dance workout. And someone came up to me after my session and introduced herself and said, I'm from Beijing, China, and I have a convention. We have it every single year, wondering if you're interested to come to China to present this workout and maybe any other dance styles that you can offer. So, of course, I was excited, and we, you know, exchanged emails for a while, and then finally I got an email like 4 months later, and it said, greetings from Beijing. We want to fly you out, and we want you to teach for 5 days, and that's how it started. So,
what do you hope to do next?
What do I hope to do next?
Yeah, what do you want to do next?
So I want to continue with this dance fitness path, And I'm working really hard on launching my program this summer, where it's going to go nationwide. It's based out in L.A. right now, so any listeners out there, please come take my class. You know, check out my website, elisebaker.com. I offer classes in the area. My team and I, we are planning to launch this summer and classes all over the world to get everybody dancing.
Now, did you ever meet Hugh Jackman? Did you ever dance with him?
With who?
Hugh Jackman.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, because he's such a good dancer, and so maybe you got really lucky and met him.
Who would be a dream guy that you'd love to meet and dance with?
Oh, that's a great question. Who would I want to see and dance with? There's so many people. I really think that I would love to work with Derek from Dancing with the Stars. He worked with Ricky Lake.
Yeah.
You know, I think that he is so talented, and he's such an amazing instructor, and he's hot, too. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I think that you can't, you know, listen, I'm a professional. I'm an expert, but I can always learn more, and I continue to learn more from my students, from the auditions I go on, from the jobs I take part in. I take class on my own to still educate myself, and I spent a lot of time this season watching Dancing with the Stars. I would watch the show, and then I would write tips and tweet live and write a blog, and I just found that every single week, I mean, you could see Ricky progress every single week and got better and better, and even his track record is amazing, but he is just, he's inspiring, and he's fun, so I would love to work with him.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, Elise, we're going to continue tweeting and Facebooking with you. You are amazingly fun.
Thank you.
It would be our dream to meet you someday and observe a class or be in a class and just have fun dancing.
Yeah, I would love that. So please definitely continue to, you know, Facebook me, tweet me, go to my website. I have classes. I'm traveling actually in a couple of weeks to New Jersey. I'm doing a huge event there. So I would love to have you in class. Anyone out there, you can view sample classes on my website, videos of what I do, and just keep following me because there's a lot going to happen this year.
Good. And we do have your link and your beautiful picture and information on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website. Thank you so much, Elise. We'd love to have you join us again.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
Keep dancing.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
She was cute.
Oh, that's really fun. Everybody should be able to dance, even people that are sitting and can't move. Just start moving your hands and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Well, we'd like you to remind you to listen to our archives. You can go to our older shows, listen to some of our older celebrities that were on, Davy Jones, Jeff Ashton, who was the prosecutor for the Casey Anthony case. Which brings me to a point. Did you see that Casey Anthony interview?
I did. You know
YouTube.
What, Lisa? I put it on our Lisa and Nancy Chit Chat Cafe Live Facebook page for everyone listening. Click on our Facebook link, find us, and you can see it.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yep, so stay tuned, and we will be back shortly with Natalie Wexler, who's the author of Mother-Daughter Show.
Now back to Chit Chat Cafe Live After Dark with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy.
Welcome back, everyone. We are just so excited. We received a book from Grace McQuaid a while ago, and it's from the author, Natalie Wexler, our guest tonight. It's called Mother-Daughter Show. It was something that we've enjoyed reading, and it recommended for a lot of book clubs. So welcome to Chit Chat Cafe Live, Natalie. How are you?
I'm great, thanks, and I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're just so thrilled. How did you think about this Mother-Daughter Show book?
Well, it really it came from an experience I had. There is something at my daughter's school called the Mother-Daughter Show, or there used to be. They've actually discontinued it as of this year. But it's a show, it's sort of a musical review that's written and performed by the mothers of graduating senior girls for their daughters. And it sounds like something that would be a lot of fun and really heartwarming, but most years it actually descends into a lot of conflict and tension among the mothers. And I was a little apprehensive about it, and shortly after I got involved, I realized I'd kind of made a mistake. Everybody was just taking it way too seriously. And I couldn't figure out a way to sort of extricate myself. So I thought, well, you know, first of all, I thought there was material here for a comic novel, and I thought it would help me maintain my sanity and my sense of humor if I wrote about it in a what I hoped would be a funny way. So that's where it came from.
Now, we want you to see details, because Lisa and I are talking all the time. Why can't women get along? Why can't women and mothers get along? Now you're talking about putting all this together in a musical review.
Yeah, and I think there were a number of reasons. Really, one reason I wrote the book was because I wanted to figure out what is it about this situation that seems to create these problems, because it happens year after year. So it's not really the individuals. It's something about the situation. And I think there are a number of reasons. You know, I think writing is, you know, people don't really take kindly to criticism of their writing, and everybody's trying to be funny, and people have different senses of humor, and the last thing you want to do is get up in front of your teenage daughter and embarrass yourself, right? You know, tell some joke you think is funny, and they don't laugh. But the other thing that's going on is this is the senior year of high school. It's a very emotional, tense time for both the kids and the mothers too. You know, they're hearing about colleges, and you're facing the prospect of your precious girl going off and leaving the nest. And you know, I think it brings a lot of emotions to the surface.
I just had a big fight with my daughter today.
Oh yeah.
Oh, a biggie tonight. I think it's because I'm overly sensitive, because my son's leaving for Spain tomorrow, so I think I'm on edge, and then she's on edge, and then
we're
fighting, and she's screaming, slamming doors in my face.
Well, I think that goes on a lot of households, you know, and I think one of the things about that I hope comes through with the book is that despite all of those conflicts and tensions, and you know, and sometimes it's really hard for us to be kind to the people we live with on a day-to-day basis, but underneath it all, there's a very strong bond of love and affection, you know, and sometimes it takes an emergency to bring it out, but it's there.
Right. Does the writing change each year?
I mean, it's a different group of women each year, and really what they do is take songs, you know, pre-existing songs, popular songs, and write new lyrics for them that are sort of keyed to, you know, the girls, although it's not really supposed to be about any specific identifiable girls, because, you know, there have been problems when they've done that. So
right.
It's sort of, you know, general topics that come out in relationships between mothers and teenage daughters, or the lives of teenage girls and things like that, with a few in-jokes thrown in as well. So it's, you know, and then there's some skits usually too, but I think what happened is every year people wanted to do better than the previous year, so every year it got a little more elaborate, to the point where we had, you know, a professional choreographer showing us dance moves, which some of us had a hard time doing, you know. So it got a little bit out of control.
each of the mothers in the mother's daughter show want to connect to their teenage daughter, but the daughters want to avoid the connection. Give us the details of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's often what happens. Well, one of them, the main character, Amanda, who does a lot of the writing for the show, although her writing doesn't actually appear in the show, her daughter just isn't interested in talking to her. Is a highly developed sense of privacy, and she's desperate to just know what's going on in her daughter's life. Another mother, Susan, thinks she knows everything that's going on in her daughter's life, is one of those mothers who feels like her daughter really just confides in her and is her best friend, but she discovers she's actually not right about that, there's a lot going on in her daughter's life she doesn't know about.
Right.
And then the third mother has a daughter who's really pretty out of control and wild, and she is very, it's hard for her to really put her foot down because she doesn't want her daughter to hate her the way she hates her own mother. So there's also a multi-generational aspect in here. Each of these mothers has a mother of her own that she also has a somewhat troubled relationship with, and I think that sometimes affects how we relate to our own daughters. But I think it's not universal, but I think it's a pretty common thing that, at a certain point, a parent wants to know more about a kid than the kid wants to reveal to the parent,
Well, I just think that this book would be so much fun for book clubs with mothers talking about their experiences, and we just highly recommend it. The cover is beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the publisher was coming up with different cover ideas, and none of them really grabbed me, and then I remembered I have a friend who's a wonderful artist, and I asked her if she would try doing a cover for the book, and she came up with this great design. I couldn't have asked for a better cover. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I love it. We will have a link on our Chit Chat Cafe Live website so everyone can see it and click and read an excerpt.
Great,
and
thanks.
Learn more about you.
Terrific.
I just think this is interesting. Well, I do have to tell you, gals, that I came up with a brilliant idea years ago, and it's working for me.
Okay. What is
that? I found a few things, to be honest, that my only daughter is better at than I am, and I compliment her on those things a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so our relationship is really great because she feels proud that she's better at things than I am.
Mm-hmm. That's great. It's wonderful. I mean, yeah, it's the sort of the carrot approach rather than the stick, instead
right.
of criticizing, use praise for the things that are great.
Quite a few things that she's better at than I am, and I can just tell that now she compliments me on the things I'm good at, and I compliment her on the things she's good at, so it usually works. But the other major thing, I think all of us, Lisa and I talk about this all the time, we enjoy our own lives, so we don't live through our daughters.
Yeah, I think that's
important.
Absolutely crucial. And I arranged things in the book so that the mothers were not doing that so much because I wanted to, make it funny and have
right.
conflict. But, there is one mother in the book two of the mothers have been stay-at-home mothers and they're very focused on what's going on in their daughters' lives. One mother has been working outside the home, and she's the one who feels that she knows everything that's going on in her daughter's life, but I think she comes to realize that she's actually been missing a few things. But I do think, I think one of the things that's going on in the book is that the mothers are very anxious to try to control what's going on in the show because they realize they can't control what's going on in their daughter's lives, so they kind of displace that need for control onto the show. And that's not so healthy, but I think it is healthy not to try to, focus all your anxieties and everything on your kids' lives. I mean, you do need to have your own life as well.
Right. So in your book, why do you think that the mothers care so deeply about the mother-daughter show?
Well, I think it's partly that displaced need for control. If I can't get my daughter to do what I want, maybe I can make this show be what I want it to be. In real life, I really wasn't completely sure why everybody seemed to care as much as they did, so I had to come up with some explanations. And I think, you know, I think this is true both in the book and in the real show to some extent, that I think the mothers began to see it as a sort of way of communicating with their daughters, because which we all sometimes find hard to do. And here was a chance, you know, you're going to be up on stage, your daughters are all looking at you, and you can say something to them. But the problem was we all kind of wanted to say different things, and that's what led to the conflict. But I think it became this way of saying goodbye, in a sense, to your daughter as she goes off to college.
Well, it's fabulous. Do you have more than one daughter?
I have one daughter and one son. Their differences and similarities. There's actually, I didn't put this in the book, but at this school, which is Sidwell Friends in Washington, there's also a mother-son show, which I had been in 3 years before, and which was a much lower key kind of thing.
Well, I think that should be your next book.
No, I think I'm probably done with writing about this school and
yeah.
But
well, you have a lot of other interesting things to discuss. We'd love to have you join us again and hear more about your writing. You even write for the Washington Post magazine and the American Scholar, and we applaud you. You just sound so fascinating.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I really appreciate your interest, and it's really been fun talking to you about the book. I will mention I've also written one previous novel, which was completely different. It was a historical novel called A More Obedient Wife. So, you know, I get around. That one's set in the 18th century.
And you know what? I love that type of writing.
Oh, great.
That book. So I'll have to look for that book to find it and to read it.
That would be wonderful. I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, well, you've been a fabulous guest. We'd love to have you back again. And have
Thanks.
Good luck with your daughter. And this book just makes me laugh.
Wonderful. Well, that's what I was hoping
really
for.
It.
Thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure talking to both of you.
Well,
too.
Happy
Thank
New
so
Year.
Much.
Thanks. Same to you.
Bye.
Bye.
Boy,
they
tonight.
I know. Can you imagine us being in a show like that with our daughter?
Yeah, after my blow-up tonight with Vine.
Oh, your daughter's fabulous, and you guys have a great relationship.
Yep.
Yep. Well, we are just so excited to thank our sponsors, Laura Geller Makeup, Intimacy Bras, and St. Croix Orthopedics. We are inviting anyone who's listening, if you'd like to be a sponsor or just simply advertise on our Chit Chat Cafe Live show, contact us. We are thanking our fabulous producer, Corey King. You can enjoy his Corey King show every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, on Artists First.
We'd like to thank our guests tonight, Julie Whitner, Elsa Baker, and Natalie Wexler. I remind everyone to go to our archives. Just go to our website, scroll down, click on the date that you'd like to listen to the show, and just enjoy our past shows. We had some great guests. Now, I'm going to leave you with a fun quote tonight. The only people that like change are wet babies. Good night, everybody. Happy New Year.
Good night.